If I'm hello? Yep. If I may, I'll just answer that question and then make a few other observations. But I'm a bit leery of the word system, because when you say that word, some people think of a computer system or an actual piece of infrastructure. That's the last thing that recommendation 49 is. Let's call it a framework or a protocol that is completely vendor neutral. But yes, it's well understood that whether you call it a digital product passport or whatever, but transparency data and measures will be industry specific and country specific. But at the same time, there's hardly a value chain that doesn't cross industry boundaries and country boundaries. So quite deliberately, Rec 49 and UNTP does not try to be all things to all men or all people. It tries to provide a foundational toolkit that any industry sector or country can extend in such a way to meet their needs, which we can't dictate, but in such a way that when extended, the result is still interoperable across country boundaries and across industry boundaries. So that, I hope, answers that question. If I may beg 3 minutes just to address your the Senelec Fellows' genuine concerns. I just point out quickly five differences that I perceive between the UNTP component called a digital product passport and the Senelec one. So first of all, the Senelec work is mostly about the digital product system, not the data that's in it, right? Whereas there'll be some metadata, but certainly we're not talking about textile properties or critical mineral properties and so on. Whereas the UN DPP does address some of the data content. The other one, of course, is that the EU digital product passport is an EU passport, whereas what we're aiming for is a global protocol. Another one, and this is probably one of the most important ones, is it's a legislative mandate, and so whereas the UNTP is a open toolkit. And the difference there is that with a passport that's subject to a legislative mandate, the quality of the data and the enforcement of the quality of the data is through legislation. If you tell fibs, you may be fined. Whereas for a UNTP framework, we need to add something that gives confidence in the quality of the data, because there is no stick to beat someone with if the data isn't believable. That's why we add things like conformity credentials, we add quality criteria, and there's a strong focus on the trust and quality of the data, not just the existence of the data. Lastly, another thing is there is a component of the EU architecture, which for good reasons is there, which is a central register. There can obviously be no such thing globally, and in fact quite the opposite. The UNTP is very focused on completely decentralized data. There can be no central registry. So there are some differences. Now to each of the points, I had to take a photo of the slide. So in terms of supporting ongoing standardization at ISO and IEC, absolutely. You're starting. We're started. We don't know exactly where you're going, you don't know exactly where we're going, but we would absolutely like to collaborate and make sure that the outcome is not something incompatible. There are some differences, which I've highlighted, but it would be a terrible shame for the community if we propose something that is physically incompatible with what Senelec proposes. So let's work together to avoid that. Then to the next comment, keep regional responsibility. We just described that, right, about it being a toolkit that is deliberately meant to be extensible for a particular region or country, geography. Focus on interoperability between systems, absolutely. That is exactly what it's for. Level of granularity, high-level framework instead of, now, there do have a little issue there in the sense that high-level frameworks are hard to implement and measure implementation and achieve interoperability in a definable way, right? So we need enough concrete testable criteria so that an implementer can be confident that their implementation is interoperable. Now, on the comment about avoiding technology, yes, I would really like to distinguish here between vendor neutrality, which is a no-brainer. Obviously, there should be no vendor dependency, and technology neutrality. At some point, put something on the wire, you have to pick a technology, right? And technology moves, it changes. And no doubt version one will be different in its choices to version two and so on and so forth. But we have built upon the giant shoulders of the World Wide Web Consortium in the choice of technology, and we believe it's the right choice for a decentralized architecture. 13 times, apparently, we mentioned a specific solution. I think you're referring to my colleague on the left here, GS1. And I would like to point out that when we did our early consultation, an overwhelming concern expressed by a large industry, mostly at the downstream end, not at the upstream end, because that's where GS1 is don't make us change our current infrastructure. Don't make us do something that doesn't allow us to continue our existing investment. But at the same time, we had to make sure I didn't do something that forced more customers to you, right? So as I said before, we had to navigate that path. Yes, there are some GS1 mentions in it, and maybe we can pull them out because, to be honest, they're not that relevant. The point is, we need, I don't mean GS1's irrelevant. I mean the relevance to the message, right? The message is that the protocol should work for any identifier. And in fact, we had to do that in one of our early pilots, right? Because we did a pilot of traceability of red meat, and the red meat supermarket had a barcode on it, which happened to be a GS1 barcode, but it traced back to farms and cows. And cows in Australia are identified with a national livestock identification system. A tag in a cow's ear has got nothing to do with GS1. But the same architecture worked, right? That's the message, that it's about a scalable architecture, irrespective of identifier scheme. It happens that there is one very large identifier scheme, but there's nothing in Rec 49 or UNTP that has a dependency on that particular identifier scheme. Only a recognition that it's so ubiquitous that if you don't support it, people will get upset. And what else? Modularity, yes, it's about a bunch of different components. Oh, data security, yes. So the basic fundamental premise of UNTP is data stays where it's owned. There is no centralization, there is no data space, there is no registry, there is nothing. There is only data where it lives, owned by the party that owns it, and their permission to expose it. That's a fundamental premise. And so that security, and if we can't provide that kind of confidence of privacy and confidentiality, we're quite sure no one will take it up. So it's a very fundamental concern that is addressed. So I hope I've answered all those questions.
Thank you.
Might have been more than 3 minutes.